The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by Shirley G. With Dirk Bogard as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames, Diana Quick as Irene, and Michael Williams as young Jolyon. Episode 5.
That's no use, I can't concentrate. Besides, the light's going. It's autumn, Balthazar. It's getting hold of the old oak tree. And you, old boy. And me.
Jolyon had been restless all this week.
If I can't work, I shall be off to Paris.
But memory of Paris gave him no pleasure. Besides, how could he go? He must stay and see what Soames was going to do. As Irene's trustee, he could not leave her unprotected.
The lady in grey. Strange how clear I see her. Poor old boy. How would I paint her? Catch the essence of her.
Cousin Jolyon.
That poignant harmony. A turn of the neck. Those eyes.
Cousin Jolyon.
Good heavens. Irene.
I trespassed, I'm afraid. I came up through the coppice in the garden. I always used to come that way to see Uncle Jolyon.
Oh, you couldn't trespass here. History makes that impossible.
Ah, history.
I was just thinking of you, and here you are. Extraordinary. Sit down. Stay for dinner.
No, I can't stay.
You're in trouble.
Soames has been to see me. He said a thing that frightened me. He said, you are my wife.
What?
He asked me to shake hands.
Did you?
Yes. But when he came in, I'm sure he didn't mean to. He changed while he was there. Now I'm afraid.
You ought not to live alone.
Perhaps I shouldn't. But I know no woman I could ask, and I can't take a lover to order, Cousin Jolyon.
Oh, heaven forbid. Lord, what a damnable position.
And Jolyon stared at her for a moment, afflicted by the thought that where beauty was, nothing was ever quite straight.
If you won't stay to dinner, let me see you back to town. I wanted to go out this evening.
Truly?
Truly.
On that journey back to town, they talked.
I have a little job which helps. A publisher sends me translations. I make my dresses.
This one?
This one.
And to Jolyon, the colours in the hedges and fields as they flash by, the fascination of her dark eyes, the lure of her whole figure made a rich, deep impression.
I see.
I don't go out much. I don't mind a bit. I'm naturally solitary.
I don't believe that.
Unconsciously, he held himself straighter, felt energy flow through him.
You know, you could always come to us at Robin Hill. Remember that.
I shall.
You must let me know everything that happened.
Waterloo! All change, Waterloo!
He can't force you to live with him. Those days are past, at least.
Irene? Yes, I went to see her. She is my wife, you know.
Is that wise, when you want a divorce?
Very good of you to warn me, but I've not made up my mind.
She has.
Your say in her affairs is confined to paying out her income. Please bear that in mind.
Look here, she's in a damnable position.
So am I. She made this for herself, and mine she made for me. I'm not at all sure that in her own interests I shan't require her to return to me.
What?
Yes. In choosing not to disgrace her by a divorce, I retained my rights. I may require to exercise them.
My God!
I've not forgotten the nickname your father gave me, the Man of Property. I'm not called names for nothing, and I shall be obliged if you will kindly leave her quite alone.
Soames was in a state of anger, with Jolyon for having seen Irene, with himself for not having seen her, and now with his inability to tell exactly what he wanted. Only last Sunday, desire had seemed so simple. His freedom. And Annette. Annette with her fresh grace and her cornflower blue eyes. Annette blushing. Annette putting a chocolate between her pouting lips. But even as he thought of her, another woman. A woman with white shoulders that he knew and dark eyes he had sought to know, stood in the half-light by a silvery wall. It was like a child between a promised toy and one which has been taken away from him.
Annette, or Irene. Irene, or...
Well, Annette.
Well, monsieur?
Do you like this life?
No. I do not like it. Not at all.
Well, you're young. There's everything before you.
I think sometimes there's nothing before me but hard work. I am not so much in love with work as mother.
Well, your mother is a wonder.
It must be a wonder to be rich.
Oh, you'll be rich one day. Don't be afraid.
Monsieur is very kind.
I've got her if I want her. But do I want her? Well, one woman's much the same as another, I suppose.
I've brought you these.
Oh, chocolat! With violets, my favorite.
If Irene had given me a son, I shouldn't be here squirming after other women. A son. I want a son. Something to make the rest of life worthwhile. Something to leave myself to. If Irene would come back, why shouldn't she? It's the right thing. The lawful thing. No scandal. No disturbance. A quiet repossession of my own property. Yes. She must come back. I will be considerate. Perhaps she will come round to me.
In the pale sunshine of a late November day, Jolly Forsyte, changed out of boating flannels, was strolling down High Street, Oxford, as Val Dartie, changed out of riding clothes, was strolling up.
Hello. Why, hello, Jolly. Let's go in here and have some tea.
A stranger, seeing them together, would have noticed the same bone formation in face, though Jolly's eyes were darker grey, his hair lighter and more wavy.
You met my people, didn't you? They're coming up tomorrow. Are they? Have a bun.
But gradually, the stranger might have felt between them some half-consciousness of that old feud formed within them by odd words, or half-hints dropped by their elders.
What do you do with yourself? Row? No. Ride and drive about. I'm going to play polo next term if I can get my granddad to stump up. Tea? To play the horses? I hate the ring. I like to back my judgment. I haven't got any. I always lose money if I bet. Ah, well. You have to buy experience, of course. Cigarette? No, thank you. Ah. What do you think of the war? Rotten so far. Why don't the Boers come into the open? Why should they? They've got everything against them except their way of fighting. They're not sports a bit. I rather admire them. Oh, they can ride and shoot. But they're a lousy lot. I must be off. My people. Would they lunch? I've got rather a decent scout. I doubt if they'll have time. You'll ask them, though. Very good of you. Look here. You'd better come and have dinner with us. Rather. 7:30, then. I say, Holly, all alone?
My brother was on the river. Dad and he'll be down in a moment.
I bought this for you. Would you wear it? It's a bit measly, but
I... Oh, no, it isn't measly. It's beautiful. I love roses.
It'd look ripping in your hair.
No, I couldn't, Val. I'll pin it here.
Well, this is topping.
Do tell me about Oxford. It must be ever so lovely.
Well, yes, it's frightfully decent, you know, doing what you like.
But awfully hard work.
Oh, the lectures are nothing. And then there are some very good chaps. Only, of course, I wish I was in town and could come down and see you.
I never said anything about our ride.
Or rather not. It's just between us. I say, you haven't forgotten our plan. Go everywhere, see everything, live in the open. Go mad rabbiting together.
Oh, that was only make-believe. One can't do that sort of thing after one's grown up.
Oh, cousins can.
Oh, Val.
We'll watch our chance in the long back.
It'll never come off.
Won't it? Who's going to stop it? Not your father or your brother. Not even Uncle Soames.
Soames, on the morning of Irene's birthday, bought from one of the quality jewellers where one got, if not one's money's worth, at least a certain cachet with the goods, a diamond brooch.
If I'm to reclaim her as my wife, if I'm to found a family, a son, it's now or never.
You? Why have you come again? I thought you understood.
It's your birthday. I brought you this.
No.
Wear it for me.
I couldn't.
Just as a sign that you don't bear me ill feeling any longer. Let me pin it here.
No.
We'll begin again. As if nothing had been. Won't you? Do you really want to drag your days out in this little hole? Come back, Irene. I'll give you everything you want. You shall live your own life. I swear it. I'll only ask one thing. A son. I want a son. Don't look at me like that. Is it so unnatural to want a child from your own wife? Irene, please. I'm half alive. I haven't any future. I want you for my wife. Say something, for God's sake. I don't want to frighten you, but I can't go on like this. I can't. I want you back. I want you.
Keep away. I am alone here. You won't behave as you once behaved.
I'm not going till you've given me a reasonable answer. Will you come back to me?
I would rather die.
I see. As bad as that. I see.
I'm sorry.
What's the matter with me? I'm not lame, not loathsome. What is it? Why? There's nothing tangible in all this. It's like a spider's web.
Yes.
Well, I don't choose to be in a spider's web. I'll cut it.
Dear Julian, Soames came again tonight, my 37th birthday. You were right, I mustn't stay here. I'm going tomorrow to the Piedmont Hotel, but I won't go abroad without seeing you. I feel lonely and downhearted. Yours affectionately, Irene.
The Piedmont Hotel, driver, please. Thank you for coming, Jim.
There's Dad, I need your help.
You first.
Dad,
Is it true I absolutely can't get at any of my money?
Only the income, fortunately, my love.
I know a small gallery I could buy for just £10,000. Eric Cobbley is a gifted artist. I could make his name in no time.
Ah, might this Mr. Cobbley be why your account is overdrawn?
Dad, he's a genius, and so hard up.
A small gallery seems a modest desire, I know, but your grandfather foresaw it.
If I could even borrow it. It's ridiculous. I shall never marry and have children. Why shouldn't I be able to do some good instead of having it all tied up in case of things which will never come off?
Her name is Forsyte. Forsytes keep their wealth within the family.
Darling, you buy the gallery, and I'll pay you £400 a year for it.
Where is it?
Just off Cork Street.
I knew it was just off somewhere. Well, we'll see.
Oh, Dad.
June, you remember Irene?
Irene?
I want you to come with me and see her.
I haven't seen her since...
I know, love, I know. But Soames is after her again. She's beautiful and so alone. She might be safer if we can give her an asylum somewhere.
Of course. I'd love to help her.
Bless you, June. Bless you. This is the place. I wired her to expect us.
He wants me to go back to him.
You won't, of course.
What can I do, June? I shall have to give him fresh excuse to be rid of me.
You can't. It's horrible.
I can't think of any other way.
Out of the question, sans amour.
He wants a child. It's understandable.
Of course. To leave his money to.
He's in a terrible position.
Irene, come to us at Robin Hill. See how things shape.
Oh, Julian. No, no, I'll only bring trouble on you all. I'll go abroad, Paris, perhaps.
What if he follows you?
I can but try.
It's all so horrible. Why should people be tortured and kept miserably by this disgusting, sanctimonious law?
Do you need money?
No.
And would you like me to let your flat?
Yes, Julian, please. I'll leave here tomorrow.
Now, you won't go back then in the meantime, will you? And you'll send me your address.
Oh, Julian, you're such a rock.
A spider's web.
Quivering from the defeat of his hopes, with the diamonds in their case still flat against his heart, walking fast, seeing nothing in the moonlight, Soames revolved thoughts bitter as death.
I would rather die.
Ridiculous.
And the more he brooded...
My proposal was perfectly reasonable.
I would rather die.
The more certain he became.
She has a lover. Well, well. That simplifies matters. I shall have her watched. Oh, God, to be reduced to this spidery secret. Unclean. My own wife. Spied upon. No one must know. To have them leer behind my back. Repugnant. Yet I must know where I am.
Now, sir. What can I do for you?
My client exacts the utmost secrecy.
Oh, I may safely say, sir, that at Polteed's we lead in secrecy.
Have you a really trustworthy woman, Free?
One moment, sir.
My client feels there's not an hour to lose.
Yes. The very woman, Mrs. Blanche.
Ah, well, send her at once, then, to watch...
Yes?
Mrs. Irene...
Mrs. Irene...
Heron.
Mrs. Irene Heron. And the address?
Flat D, Truro Mansions, Chelsea.
And the duration, sir?
Till further notice.
Precisely. Divorce, I presume.
Under no circumstances must the name get out.
Oh, I assure you.
Nor the watching be suspected.
Make your client's mind perfectly easy. I shall put it in the cipher category. That way a name is never mentioned. We work by numbers. Keep that, sir. It's your key. I retain this duplicate. The party watched will be 17, the watcher 19, the mansion's 25, yourself, I should say your firm, 31, my firm 32, myself 42. In case you should have to mention your client in writing, I've called him 43. Any person we suspect will be 47.
Yes, yes.
Expense?
In reason. Keep it entirely in your own hands.
Oh, entirely. Well, good morning, sir. I shall be seeing you in the other case, sir, shall I not?
Hmm?
Darty versus Darty.
It is important, Winifred, that you seem anxious to get Darty back. You might practice that when Dreamer returns. Of course, he understands that you want a divorce.
Oh, dear. It's so bad for the children's souls. Especially Val. He's in with such a good set. Oh, what a clown Monty's been.
It's most important to push on. If you let him hang on, he'll drag you down to real disgrace. Bankruptcy. Even jail. Now, better a little scandal now.
Yes, you're right, of course.
Where were we, Mrs. Darty?
My husband's letter, Mr. Truman.
Ah, the correspondence, quite. I have it all, I think. His, Mrs. Darty. It's played out. You've brought it on yourself. I don't care what your family say. Yours. I am prepared to let bygones be bygones if you will return to me at once. I beg you to do so. Your still affectionate wife. Good. Good. His wired reply. Impossible return. Darty. Quite so. It's the question of restitution, isn't it?
My sister feels...
We want to get him back, don't we, Mrs. Darty?
Well, if Monty only...
My sister's position is, of course, intolerable.
Exactly. Now, can we rely on the cable refusal? Or must we wait till after Christmas to give him a chance to have written? That's the point, isn't it, Mrs. Darty?
I rather thought...
Why should my sister be incommoded by his choosing to go...
To Jericho? Quite so. People oughtn't to go to Jericho, ought they, Mrs. Darty? I agree. We can go forward. Mid-December, that should give him enough rope. Evidence all right?
Oh, I think so, yes. The evidence of the stewardess will be very complete.
Quite so. We shall go forward, then.
Oxford Powers! Oxford Powers! Beat back at Stormberg! Ominous repulse at Macclesfontein! Last week, defeated Colenso!
Hola, 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 hola!
Hola! Damnation to the Boers!
Damnation to the Boers!
Hooray! I say.
Ah, hello.
I saw you talking to those chaps in there. After the toast, talking about me.
What if I was?
What did you say?
May I say what I like?
No!
I said you were pro-Boer.
Well, I'm not.
You and your crank set think we should stop the war.
Perhaps.
Give those pig-headed beggars what they want.
Autonomy. Maybe we should.
Any decent fellow knows there's only one way. A fight to the finish and a good lick.
Maybe we shouldn't put our noses in where we're not wanted.
I said you were pro-Boer and you are.
Liar!
Do you want a row?
Of course. I'm not here. In the gun.
All right. Come on.
All right.
They went, eyeing each other askance, unsteady and unflinching. They climbed the garden railings.
You're not corked, are you? I can't fight you if you're corked.
No more than you.
Took off their coats.
All right, then.
And put themselves at once into postures of defence.
All right. All right.
Until Jolly smote Val almost accidentally on the nose. After that, it was all a dark and ugly scrimmage in the deep shadow of the old trees until.
Your name, young gentleman!
They ran at the railings, shinned over, mopped their faces, and, without a word, walked 10 paces apart to the college gates. They went out silently. Val towards the broad, Jolly down the lane towards the high.
Pro-Boer.
Thoughts of enlisting jostled his aching head, of riding over the veldt, firing gallantly while the Boers rolled over like rabbits. Turning up his smarting eyes, he saw the stars shining between the housetops of the high, and himself, bowing out on the Karoo, whatever that was, rolled in a blanket, with his rifle ready and his gaze fixed on a glittering heaven. When, in the first week of December, Jolyon decided to go to Paris, he was far from admitting that Irene's presence was influencing him. On a bright day, with a feeling such as he had often had going to visit an adored picture, he took his way to her hotel.
How do you like Paris?
It's beautiful, of course. But to be alone in Paris...
Poor exile.
It is sometimes a little difficult.
And what news?
None.
Nothing from Soames?
Nothing.
Good. Now, you must let me take you about while I'm here. Let's start tomorrow. Come and dine at my pet restaurant, and we go to the Opera Comique.
I should enjoy that so much.
And then tomorrow, an expedition to Versailles, Wednesday, a concert, Thursday...
Thursday? Let me get my breath.
Thursday.
Marron Rôti! Marron Rôti!
Oh, the sun on the river.
Yes. It's a fine, sharp light.
And the smell of those chestnuts roasting.
A bag of those, please. Voilà, madame.
Oh, Julian.
Friday, Fontainebleau. Saturday, the Tuileries. Sunday, Sacré-Cœur.
Bonsoir, Monsieur Dame. Your usual table waits.
I think I love Paris in the winter.
So do I now.
You must have so many memories here, you and your wife.
Strangely, no. It was only after Hélène died that I came to Paris. There was nothing to keep me at home, so I removed my grief, my paint box, grew a beard, became an artist.
Do you still mourn her, Jamie?
Oh, I think I lost her long before she died. She made me happy and I loved her to the last. But she was ill. And she couldn't quite believe it. Poor Hélène.
Poor Julian.
I'm quite recovered now.
The whole city sparkles.
And not a Forsyte to be seen. Of any kind.
That does seem to add to the sparkle, I agree.
One feels philosophic here. Life becomes a bunch of flavours tasted, a darkness shot with shifting gleams of light. Shifting gleams of light. Why, that is she. She gleams. She is the light. Elle est mon rêve. My dream. Dear, dear me. Bad case of elderly rapture, I'm afraid. And yet, I've dreamed of her my whole life long. And here she is.
You wins!
Oh, Bar, that was ripping.
You went like wind.
You were only a nose behind.
Your hat's on one side, and your face is shining.
Oh, Bar.
You look so terrifically sweet.
Oh, Bar.
I have to go, I suppose.
Is it awfully hard for you to get away?
I just say sorry, I've got to see a fellow and slip off. Tricky getting in and out of the house, though, in riding togs.
Oh, it's all right for me. Dad's not here, and Jolly's always off somewhere. It's changed so much. We're not the same together now at all.
Darty versus Darty.
It seemed Darty to Val unspeakably disgusting to have one's name called out like this, and there moved in him, like an illness, all the deep-seated individualism of his breed.
My client, very rightly, your lordship will agree, was anxious to check a course that would inexorably lead to ruin, the spectre of bankruptcy.
Val sat up and his ears burned.
And differences about money matters, gambling at cards and on the race course, increased potential.
His flush deepened.
I am tired of being insulted by you. My client will tell your lordship that these so-called insults consisted in her calling him the limit. A very mild expression.
He glanced sideways at his mother's impassive face. It had a hunted look about the eyes.
With your lordship's permission, I shall now put Mrs. Darty in the box.
Mrs. Winifred Darty.
He thought his mother made a rich figure of it, in her furs and large hat, with a slight flush on her cheekbones. He felt proud of her, and had a most unpleasant jar, when the judge suddenly said...
Now, why did your husband leave you? Not because you called him the limit, you know.
No, my lord, but it had gone on a long time.
What had gone on?
Our differences about money.
But you supplied the money.
Yes, my lord.
Do you suggest he left you to better his position?
No, my lord. But you see, I'd refused him any more.
Did he believe you?
Not at first. It took him a long time. But when he did...
I see. You had refused. But you have sent him money since, have you not?
My lord, I wanted him back.
And you thought that would bring him back?
I don't know, my lord. I acted on my father's advice.
Just one more question, Mrs. Darty. Are you still fond of your husband?
Yes, my lord.
Well, we've got the decree of restitution. Well done, Winifred.
I suppose that's good, is it?
He's bound by precedent to give you your divorce, if the evidence is satisfactory, which it will be.
That brute of a judge, poor mother.
You did excellently, Winifred. Calm, matter-of-fact.
I was jolly well going to see they treated you decently, old brutes.
Your mother and I are going to lunch, Val.
Righto, I've just got time to see this fellow.
Are you sure you shouldn't like to come?
But Val ran down the steps and out into the air. He bolted into a cab, his thoughts on Holly, and what he must do before her brother showed her tomorrow's paper. From Roehampton he galloped over the winter-dried grasses of Richmond Park, fearing to be late. But he was alone at the trysting spot. Holly! He could not go back without seeing her.
I had to come, Holly. Why weren't you at our special place today? That's the second time. What's the matter?
Jolly knows about our riding.
Is he in? Is he here now?
No, but I expect he will be soon.
Oh, Holly, I've so much to say to you. I want you to know everything before... It's about my family. It's fearfully hard.
Hold my hand.
My dad, you know, isn't altogether... I mean, he's left my mother, and they're trying to divorce him, so they've ordered him to come back, you see. You'll see that in the paper tomorrow. Well, there'll be some beastliness, I expect, before it's over. I wanted to tell you because you ought to know if you're going to be a darling and love me, Holly. I love you. Ever so. And I want to be engaged. Oh, I could punch my head. I said it all so badly, but you do love me, don't you? If you don't, I...
Oh, Val.
Oh, Holly. My God, who's that? All right. I don't care a bit now we're engaged. I say...
I beg your pardon for hearing.
Well, it's nothing for you.
No? You'd better leave, Holly.
No.
Yes.
I'm staying.
Holly and I are engaged.
This is our house. I'm not going to insult you in it, but my father's away. I'm in charge of my sister. You've taken advantage of me.
I didn't mean to.
I think you did. If you hadn't meant to, you'd have spoken to me, or waited for my father to come back.
There were reasons.
What reasons?
About my family. I've just told her. I wanted her to know before things happen.
You're kids. You know you are.
I am not a kid.
You are? You're not 20.
Well, what are you?
I am 20.
Only just? Anyway, I'm as good a man as you.
We'll see about that. I dare you to do what I'm going to do.
Dare me?
Yes, dare you. I haven't forgotten you called me pro-boar. Yes, we shall soon see. I'm going to join the Imperial Yeomanry, and I dare you to do the same, Mr. Val Darty.
Charlie.
Take your time. I don't want to be unfair.
All right. Done.
Oh, Val.
Tomorrow, then. We'll go together. Have enlisted in Imperial Yeomanry. Jolly.
Jolyon received the telegram as he was setting out to meet Irene. Time had fled since the revelation of his love for her lighted like a bird singing in his heart. He lived without past or future as long as she was there. Irene, smiling, happy in their friendship, and always more beautiful and spiritually responsive. And now...
have enlisted in Imperial Yeomanry.
While he was lotus-eating here, his boy had taken this great step towards danger, hardship, why, even death.
Dad?
I'm afraid I must go home at once.
Oh, Jolyon, of course you must. You must be proud of him.
I am. I shall miss all this awfully.
So shall I.
Ah, well, such is life. Take care of yourself, my dear.
He had a stumbling sensation of his legs and feet, as if his brain refused to steer him away from her. From the doorway, he saw her lift her hand and touch its finger with her lips. He raised his hat solemnly and did not look back again.
Dinner for six tonight, Warmson.
Dinner parties were not now given at James's in Park Lane. But Emily, who at 70 would still have liked a little feast or fashion, felt something like excitement.
You're looking jolly fit, Grandfather.
Am I a boy? I don't know. I can't tell.
Of course you are, Father. Yeah.
Oysters, I say.
Your favourite, Val.
The bon beaufres for pudding, Imogen, especially for you.
Yeah, well, as the Madeira thing, Soames, I was keeping for our golden wedding, but I shan't live 3 years at my age.
Oh, nonsense, James. Don't talk like that.
Ought to have got it up myself, Warmson's shaken it likely as not.
It'll be excellent, Father.
When I'm gone, then it'll be, what'll become of it? Drunk or spoiled, I shouldn't wonder. Nice. Well, you must try a little.
Granny, I joined the Imperial Yeomanry today.
What? Good. Did you, Val?
Young Jolly and I went down together.
Joined the... Oh, rubbish.
You're underage.
Oh, I thought of that. I gave my age as 21.
I wonder what they'll say at Timothy's. I'd give anything to see their faces, wouldn't you?
Well, Val, that was plucky of you.
Why, he'll be fighting before he knows where he is.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Mother, it's all right, you know. We shall soon have them on the run.
Oh, we must try and get to your commission as soon as we can. Then you won't have to rough it.
I only hope I come in for some action.
Do you know any drill, Val?
No, not a scrap.
I hope they won't worry you too much.
Will you have a sword, Val, or just a pop gun?
I'm sure he'll make a splendid soldier. He's just the figure for it.
What had young Jolly to do with it? Why did you go together? I thought you weren't friendly with him.
Well, I'm not. But I wasn't going to be beaten by him.
Oh, good boy. Champagne warms him for Mr. Val.
Too much.
Well, what's his father doing?
Oh, he's away in Paris.
Oh, artist.
So, the fellow's in Paris. What's he doing there? Hanging round Irene, I shouldn't wonder. I should never have sold the house at Robin Hill. If Uncle Jolyon hadn't bought it, if my cursed cousin hadn't lived in it, and now... Oh, my God, I must be mad to want her still. If that damn fellow's with her now...
I'm back, old boy!
Jolyon, who had crossed from Paris by night, entered his domain by the coppice gate. Up on the lawn above the fernery, he could see his old dog, Balthasar, get up from his haunches.
I'm home!
The dog's tail, close curled over his back, began a feeble, excited fluttering. Jolyon, waiting to greet him, sat on a fallen tree trunk.
Oh, come, there you go. That's what love ends in my time of life. Oh, she seems so near. Oh, what a fool I am. Glad it isn't spring.
Come!
old boy.
But Balthasar did not come panting through the dead leaves, and rather alarmed, Jolyon rose, turned into the fernery. There, looking up with eyes already glazing, the old dog lay.
What is it, my poor old man?
Balthasar's curled and fluffy tail just moved. His filming eyes seemed to be saying, I can't get up, master, but I'm glad to see you.
Well, what is it, dear man? Where are you hurt?
The tail fluttered once.
Oh, dear old boy.
And then Jolyon knelt down. His eyes very dimmed, could hardly see. He stayed there for some minutes, the muzzle cooling already against his lips, his hand beneath the stiffening head. Leaves drifted over the heavy body. He went slowly to the house, thinking of all he and the dog had shared, of Holly's and Jolly's childhood, of old Jolyon's last years, and of the time of stress and struggle before he came again into the kingdom of his father's love and wealth. The link with the past had snapped.
I can't remember him not being there.
18 years. I brought him back a tiny puppy in my pocket. Well, Jolly, I admire you for it. Friendly thing.
Oh, I thought I ought. I don't want to a bit, of course.
Can't believe I should have done it at your age. Too much of a foresight, I'm afraid.
I'm pure foresight, Dad. I only enlisted because I dared Val Darty to.
But why?
We bar each other.
Now, old man, I think it's big enough. I can't bear this part of it.
Let me do it, Dad.
But together, very gently, they raised the old dog's body, whose faded tan and white showed here and there under the leaves stirred by the wind. And they laid it heavy, cold, and unresponsive in the grave.
There goes the past.
Such changes. Val and Jolyon's boy in South Africa. I do wonder what Jolyon's boy is like. To think we've never seen him. His father must be so proud.
His father's in Paris.
Little Mrs. McAnder has just returned from Paris. Whom do you think she saw in the Tuileries? You'll never guess.
We shan't try, Auntie.
Irene. Imagine. And not a day older, Mrs. McAnder said. She was always so pretty.
Was she alone?
Oh, no. She was out walking, Mrs. McAnder said, with a fair bearded gentleman.
Indeed. My dear.
I can just remember her. She's the skeleton in the family cupboard, isn't she? What did she do then, Auntie?
She didn't behave at all well.
Oh, bother. That's as far as I can ever get.
Come along, Imogen. Are you coming, Francie?
Yes, we must be getting back.
Well, goodbye, dear.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Was she divorced?
Certainly not. That is, certainly not.
Come along, Imogen.
Mother, dear.
Young people.
Dear.
My dear. Hester. I've had such a dreadful thought.
Then don't tell me.
You can't think how dreadful. Hester, do you know whom they say has a fair beard? Jolyon.
Ah! 47, Mr. Forsyth, has been paying marked attention to 17 in the past month. The meetings have all been in public places. Restaurants, Fontainebleau, the opera. She's not been traced to his rooms, nor vice versa. But, you can tell your client it's looking out very well.
They don't suspect?
No, no. Very intelligent woman, 19, and a wonderful makeup. Not cheap, but earns her money well. One rather curious point, 47 has the same surname as 31.
What?
Christian name, an odd one. Jolyon.
What? What is the manner between them?
17, very attractive. 47, longer in the tooth. Slang for age, you know. Distinctly gone, waiting his time. Inclined to think 17 doesn't yet know her mind. Likely to act on impulse one day. Both have style.
Style?
Well, unlikely to be a weekend business. They'll come together seriously or not at all. Come. Ah. Yes, thank you, Mr. Rathbone. Oh, fresh news, Mr. Forsyth, just come in. 47 left for England today. Address on his baggage, Robin Hill.
You've been in Paris, I hear.
Yes, just back.
Young Val told me. He and your boy are going off then.
Yes.
You didn't see Irene, I suppose. It appears she's abroad somewhere.
Yes, I saw her.
How was she?
Very well.
I may as well tell you, I'm going to ask her to let bygones be bygones.
You have asked her, you know.
Well, the idea was new to her then. It came as a shock. But now she's had time to think it over, she must see it is the only way.
That's not my impression of her state of mind.
My position with her is extremely difficult. I don't want you using your influence against me.
Just what makes you think I have any influence?
I see things more plainly than you think.
If I have, I'm bound to use it in the direction of what I think is her happiness.
Does that mean you're against me?
I'm against any woman living with any man whom she definitely dislikes.
And I suppose each time you see her, you put your opinions into her mind?
I'm not likely to be seeing her.
Not going back to Paris?
No, not so far as I know.
Anyone who comes between man and wife incurs heavy responsibility.
Now that her husband had been ordered back into her custody, with a view to putting him away from her forever, Winifred had tried long and hard to find out from her sore and lonely heart what she really wanted.
Winifred!
As usual now, she sought her bedroom, where she could be alone.
Winifred!
God!
I've got the letter, Winifred. I'm back.
Oh, God! Monty!
Are the kids all right?
How dare you come?
Hmm?
You knew that letter was just for divorce.
I've had a beastly time. But I've nothing but what I stand up in. And that bag.
And who has the rest?
I came steerage, Winifred.
Don't touch me. We can't stay here.
Well, where then?
Anywhere.
But how can I? I mean, look. Look at me. This suit, my watch and typing gone. I've been through hell. That damn,
if
really...
If you mention her, I go straight out to Park Lane and I don't come back.
God, if you knew the time I've had...
I'm glad I don't. How did you get in?
With my key.
Well, then the maids don't know. All right. You can have a room for the night. Oh. Just for the night.
You're a brick, Freddy.
The old pet name again, disused for years and years, sent a shiver through Winifred. Monty's black moustache had lost its boldness. There were lines she did not know about his face. She touched his hand, went into her room. She sat there a long time before the looking-glass, fingering her rings, gnawed by jealousy of what this subdued, dark man, almost a stranger to her, had been through, and now and again, just visited by pity.
What's all this? What's all this? Tell your father. You never tell me anything.
Monty's not gone bankrupt, Father. He's only come back.
Why the devil didn't you let me try cruelty? I always knew it was too much risk this way. What did he have to say for himself?
Well, nothing. He's not the same at all. He's thinner. Squeezed somehow. One of his boots is split across the toe.
No, he's been men's.
Cards. Betting, drink. It all begins again. Where did you leave him?
In the bath.
Well, we ought to make terms with him.
Oh, divorce? Rubbish. What was I about? I ought to have paid the fellow an allowance to stay out of England.
Bless you, Daddy dear, but I've decided. Mm. I'll keep him now he's back.
Lie extra! Lie extra! Mafeking relief! Relief of Mafeking, the nation chair!
Who are all these people? What are they? What are they? Where in God's name have they come from? This is Pall Mall. What are they doing here?
Here, have a false nose, mate.
Of course, Mafeking's been relieved, but what sort of excuse is that?
Come on, there, give us a smile.
Oh, it's quite unspeakable. They stink. They're hideous. They're like some foreign rabble, not like Englishmen at all.
Excuse me.
Do you want to dance?
No reverence, no respect, nothing sacred to them. Any minute now, they'll smash things and make speeches.
Excuse me, please.
See you later.
Radicals, socialists. One day we may have to fight them. They'll want our goods, our property. But we're the backbone of the country. They won't upset us easily. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Fancy.
I'm writing a little patriotic waltz.
Oh, you must play it to us, dear.
Well, I... Oh, all right. Just a little thing, you know, but it has a rather sweet dip to it. Mm.
So nice for Val and Julian's boy out there, knowing the news is going well.
Timothy feels it so. The blood's quite gone to his head.
Spring, such a dangerous time for him.
Lucky Uncle Soames, to be in Paris in springtime.
Curious he should have gone. He always said he found it rather a grasping city. Overrated.
Dear Soames is rather shy for Paris. What will he find to do there?
Irene, I didn't mean to startle you.
How did you find me?
It wasn't difficult.
Of course. I have no privacy, have I? Wherever I go, even out here, I'm followed, haunted by my shadow.
Well, you could be free of it. You've only to come back with me.
Free?
No, don't, Irene. Listen, please. Is there any condition I can make, any promise? A separate house, just a visit, now and then.
Nothing. Never. You can haunt me to the grave. I'll never come.
That's your last word, then. You'll condemn us both.
I can't come back. I can't.
You came to me without a penny.
Yes.
You had all I could give you.
Yes.
You made a sacred vow and broke it without cause. You made me a byword. You refused me a child. You've left me in prison.
If you say so.
Well, what do you think of yourself?
God made me as I am. Wicked, if you like.
But you still move me. And I want you. I want you.
I'm sorry for you, Soames, but I am not so wicked that I'll give myself again to a man I hate.
Soames could neither speak nor move. The sunlight gleamed on her hair as she moved away and seemed to lay a caress all down the clinging, cream-coloured frock.
A man I hate.
That word, hate, so extreme, so primitive, made all the foresight in him tremble.
Paint, don't touch me.
Nothing's any good. Nothing's worthwhile. Bitter. All bitter. All I want is a wife. Someone to talk things over with. I'm lonely. For 17 long, lonely years, I've set my heart on her, and she... I can't spend my life in irons. My whole life. With every natural instinct, every decent yearning, gagged. I'll show her this very day that she's still my wife. Damn it. I have a right.
In episode 5 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogarde. Soames was Alan Howard, Irene Diana Quick, young Jolyon Michael Williams. Maurice Denham played the part of James, Rachel Kempson, Aunt Hester, Rennie Asherson, Aunt Julie, Maxine Audley, Emily, and Fiona Walker, Winifred. June Forsyte was played by Angela Pleasance, Annette, Shelley Thompson, Jolly, Paul Downing, Val, Dale Rapley, Holly, Elizabeth Mansfield. Donald G. played Montague Darty, Simon Treves, Dreamer, Brian Miller, Paul Teed, Susan Sheridan, Francie, and Tara Dominic, Imogen. The judge was played by David King, and other parts were played by members of the cast. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the director was Sue Wilson.